Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are smack dab in the middle of our turkey series, and we're excited today to be joined by Mr. Ernie Edwards of Head Busta Turkey Calls and the part-timers on Mossy Oak Go and YouTube. So definitely go on YouTube, go on Mossy Oak Go, type in part-timers. You want to check out their videos. They are fantastic. Great quality, and then there's some great hunts and stuff that they do on there. But if you're on the market for a turkey call, time is running out, especially if you're down here in Florida with us. But jump on headbustaturkeycalls.com and get an order in as quick as you can. Ernie does some awesome stuff, and really appreciate the work he's done for me. So I grunted in a buck this fall with his grunt call, and Lord willing, this spring we will yelp and gobbler with one of his turkey calls. So y'all enjoy this one as I'm joined by Mr. Ernie Edwards. Welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. We're glad to be joined this evening by Ernie Edwards of Head Busta Turkey Calls and the part-timers. So Ernie, I appreciate you taking some time to join me this evening. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Kind of awesome. Wishing that we had a little bit more cold weather in the forecast, but I'm happy to see the green leaves starting to sprout and the turkeys are starting to gobble. So this is my favorite time of the year by far.
Yes, sir. I'm with you. We get enough hot weather around here that I'm all right with a little cool weather, but signs of spring are here, and that's exciting for us who like to chase some turkeys. So, man, how did you get into turkey hunting? You know, is that something that, you know, you just done as long as you can remember with your family, or how'd that come about for you?
Yeah, so the first turkey hunt I can remember going on, I was probably five. My dad was a turkey hunter. Pretty much all of my cousins. I grew up in a, you know, kind of a tight-knit family. We had like the whole strip of highway kind of within about a quarter of a mile, half a mile was all family. And everybody turkey hunted, everybody deer hunted. But yeah, probably the first turkey hunt that I can remember, I was five, and my dad killed a pretty good gobbler, and I was sitting in the middle of a palmetto patch playing with some little race cars or something, and the little piece of land that we hunted, the turkeys just didn't gobble hardly any at all. I don't know if it was predators or poaching. I'm not really sure. I just remember my dad getting real excited because a bird answered him two or three times, and he came running right by us and he shot it. And that's kind of, that was my first experience that I can remember. And I was hooked after that for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's I'm sure that's a memorable one for you. You know, that one right there, the first one that you went on. But, you know, having been turkey hunting for years now, you know, decades makes you sound old, but, you know.
I know. I'm 35. I'll be 36 this August. Yeah, I've been around it a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You got just a couple years on me, but you know, man, I'm sure you've experienced some crazy hunts, some funny hunts. You know, is there any one or couple, you know, even that stand out to you over the years, just ones that for whatever reason, maybe you remember real well?
Yeah, we don't have enough time for all the cool stories, but probably still to this day, one of my most memorable was obviously the first, you know, the first turkey that I killed, which was a Super Jake. Called him up down a long straightaway in the hunting club. We saw a group of turkeys and they kind of went around the curve. And so we hauled butt and got a little bit closer to them. And my dad went off, and I was 13 by this time. My dad tried to go around them kind of, and he was going to get around them. And I stayed, set the decoys and stayed right there by the truck. And I called him down the road, and kind of a combination between him seeing the decoy and my sexy hen yelping, he came right there and blew up at the decoy, and I smoked him. So that was, you know, that's a memorable one. But probably my favorite one is the only time my mom has went hunting. We were in Georgia, and I'd killed a bird in a creek swamp in Rocky Creek. And as I was working another bird, a bird strutted in like right at my gun barrel that I didn't even know was there. And I killed him. Wow. So the next morning I was, it's like, hey mom, you want to go? And she'd never, you know, had any interest in going at all. She's like, yeah, I'll go. So we got down in this creek swamp early. Cause I'm a fan of, like, if I have a bird roosted and I know within 100 yards of where he's at, I'm getting there early, like 2 or 3 hours early if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were going in like 2 hours early, and the hens were just tree yelping and clucking at 5 o'clock. I'm like, man, because you never know, a hoot owl might fly next to them, wake them up, or a coyote howls underneath them, wakes them up. I personally don't think turkeys ever sleep anyways. That's why they're so quirky. But we got set up on this right about 100 yards from where this bird was roosted, and it was just magical. I wish I would have had a camera to film it. I mean, it was two birds came strutting down the opposite side of the creek, which was like 20 yards. They came, but they locked up at like 80. They wouldn't come. And I had my Jake decoy kind of back behind me a little bit. And as I'm locked in watching those two turkeys, my mom is sitting beside, right behind me on the stool, and I'm kind of leaned up against her knees. And she goes, here comes a gobbler. And I'm like, where? And she just lifts her arm up, because she'd never been hunting before in her life. She just lifts her arm up, and as she does that, he struts in front of my barrel, like at 10 foot. And I just, boom, I killed that one. And then the other turkey, like, he never flopped, right? Just stoned him. And the other turkeys just were kind of looking around, and I was cackling and trying to get them fired up. And sure enough, man, he flops one time, and they see him, and they fly across the creek, and they just full strut running and gobbling. And they jump them, and I got that second one right there. And it was just, oh, man, it was the coolest hunt still to this day.
That sounds like a good one. That really does. Yeah. That had a little bit of everything going on.
Yep. Mom's never went back since, but it was a cool hunt for sure.
Yeah, well, she picked a good one to go on, I guess.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, I love hearing stories, but, you know, I was going to ask you, too, kind of about your gun and ammo setup, you know, for turkey hunting, you know, kind of fast forwarding to the current situation. You know, full disclosure, I've only killed one turkey, and killed him with a Remington 887 with no choke, and 3.5-inch long beard XRs, and
there you go.
You know, but it got the job done, so I'm proud of it. But you know, these days, of course, you can't turn around without hearing something about TSS and all that good stuff. You know, what kind of setup do you have running?
So currently, I'm shooting my childhood 20 gauge. It's a Remington 870, and I love that thing. I've killed a good bit of turkeys with it, and I'm kind of sad to say that I laid it to rest in the gun safe for probably 10 or 15 years. Was shooting a 12 gauge, you know, 3.5s, and when long beards came out, I started shooting long beards, and when they first came out, I'm like, that's just not even fair, man. You can kill those turkeys out there way too far with those shells, and because, like, you know, growing up, Dad and I mean, they didn't choke tubes, they didn't use any of that stuff, and they had like number sevens and stuff. And when you shot that turkey, that darn shot wasn't even in his head yet, and them guys were up running after him because it just wasn't, you know, it wouldn't kill him, it just kind of knock him down. So that's kind of how I was brought up. You shoot him, you just go get him, son. You go step on him,
right?
And I shot a 12 gauge for years, and I just got like, why, man? Why? I have a turkey gun that is proven. It's a whole heck of a lot lighter. And then the TSS stuff started kind of coming about, and I learned about Jeb's choke. So I bought a Jeb's choke, and then I started shooting TSS in that 20 gauge.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, man. It's, yeah, no, you don't need it. you can take a low brass number 7 and call him up to 20 yards and kill him dead as anything. But man, it looks cool on video when you shoot him in the head with TSS.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's cool.
So that's what I'm running this year is my Remington 870 20 gauge with some TSS. I have a couple hand loads left that a buddy made. But then I don't know what I'm going to shoot after that. Some type of TSS. We got gotcha. My boy Knox a 410 this year. So he's cool. going to be shooting that with some TSS. So, gosh, man, the 410s, when I was a kid, like nobody would have ever thought about using a 410 because, you know, it would barely bust a balloon at 10 foot. But
yeah,
with TSS and red dots on these 410s, golly, they're just phenomenal.
Phenomenal. That's crazy. I was talking to my grandpa the other night, and he has a Sears and Roebuck 410 single shot that he's had. You know, it's probably like 100 years old, man. Like, man, I wonder if I could get that out and hunt turkey with it. But of course, I couldn't shoot any tungsten out of that, so we'd have to do a little more research.
Yeah. I don't know if they make long beards for a 410. I'm not sure.
But, I don't know. I'd have to do some additional research on that.
Yeah. just get him in close, man. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. But that's awesome. So is this going to be your son's first year actually hunting or actually shooting?
Yeah, this will be his first year behind the gun. He went with me. I guess he's 5, so he was 3. He went with me by the house, and I called a bird up, and he got a little shy of my strutter. And he kind of locked up behind some oak, so I was able to turn the tractor video on the phone there. I was like, hey, boy, don't you move. Stay right here. And I'm going to go try to crawl up here and kill this turkey real quick. And it was kind of cool because the video is actually on my Head Bust a Turkey Calls YouTube channel. But I left the GoPro rolling. You can see him kind of looking up and play it, like watching the little tractor video. And I crawled up there and killed that turkey. Nice. And I took him last year a couple times. We had a rogue rooster that was terrorizing these turkeys around here, man. I don't know where he's at this year. They must have pinned him back up. But he'd flog those gobblers and run them around. And it was funny because you could just – like I whistle like a chicken hawk, and that rooster would answer you like a gobbler. Or you could cut call to him, and he would crow and answer. So it was like a dead giveaway where the turkeys were because he would – every time you did any kind of call, he would answer you, and he was right there with those turkeys. So he went with me a couple times last year, and we called the rooster up, and he strutted around the hen decoy. It was really cool. That video is on our part-timer YouTube channel. So this will be the first year he'll be behind the gun, and he's pretty darn pumped, man.
Dude, that is awesome. That is awesome. My son is less than a year old, but I can't wait.
Yeah, man. But, hey, it'll be here before you know it, buddy. It goes by way too fast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My daughter's a couple of years old, so we'll see if she takes to the hunting. We'll see. That's awesome, though. I've watched at least a couple of those videos with that rooster in them. So, anybody listening, you need to go check those out because it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is for sure. I hope they got the landowner actually caught him. They hit his little boys ran him down because they needed a rooster for their chicken pen. And I had just filmed it, that one video. I just got back to the house and was editing some pictures. And he sends me a Snapchat, and they caught him. I'm like, what are you doing, man? He said, oh, yeah, the boys needed a rooster for their hens. Like, man, I'll buy you about 10 roosters if you'll let that one go. And it was shortly after that, the Outdoor Channel reached out wanting to share the videos and all that stuff. I was like, you got to turn this chicken loose, man. So I went and filmed him. I went and filmed him releasing him back into the wild there.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he's a mess. But like I said, I don't know where he's at this year. They must have fixed the coop. It's about a quarter or a half a mile away. They must have fixed it and pinned him up tight.
Oh, that's too bad. That's hilarious. The rooster, man.
Crazy stuff.
Never know what you're gonna run into out in the turkey woods.
No, sir. There's no telling.
Oh man. Well, I was mentioning earlier, you know, I've only killed one turkey, and I'm relatively new to hunting overall, but you know, what kind of mindset or strategy do you take into turkey hunting, you know, as far as you know, you mentioned earlier, if you've got one, you know, you're confident on having one roosted, you'll get in real early and try to get as close as possible, which, you know, totally makes sense. You know, is there anything else as far as like your strategy with turkey hunting that you'd tell somebody who's kind of just starting out?
Excuse me. Yeah, so, man, my strategy has changed every year, and it's changed drastically since I've became an adult and a father. Used to, man, I had patience. If I knew a bird, if I found where he strutted in a road, you know, more than once, and I would just sit there until I killed him, or I would work him until I killed him. But, you know, the father life and jobs and filming really has changed a lot, because I no longer just want to, you know, run and gun in there as fast as I can to just kill him. I, you know, I want to get good footage, and I want to, you know, now it sounds weird and a lot of people say it and, you know, call me soft or whatever. I like the challenge. I really want to have him on film now. But so, yeah, if I have the chance to roost him, because very, very few times, unless I'm guiding some people, very few times do I get to have the chance to just go out and roost a turkey and then go back the next morning to hunt him. But say I was going to roost them, I usually hold way back. Like if I know they're in, you know, a general area, you know, I'll just kind of hold back and get right about flying up time. And then I'll either, you know, if you can hear them fly up, that's great. Or what I usually do is I'll make him gobble on the limb, and then I'll just try to get some cover, which is pretty plentiful here in Florida. There's nothing but cover. So I'll just kind of push in as quietly and as close as I can until I can, you know, pick him out either in the tree, which by then it's usually too late. If you can see him, he's already seen you. But I'll get as close as I can, and I'll know that if I know the terrain, I know, hey, there's a good hall Gruden flat, or there's a, you know, oak hammock that's usually where they fly down to. You know, then, yeah, I'll get in there really early. Any excuse I can get to be in there as early as I can, I'm in there, man. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've got in there 2.5 hours early, and turkeys are already tree yelping and clucking and, you know, drumming on the limb and stuff like that. So that's one scenario. And here lately, I run so many cameras. I only have one cell cam, but I run so many cameras all year, deer season. I mean, literally pretty much 365.
Right.
I just know where they hang out. I already know where they roost the majority of the time, which that will vary from, you know, bow season until spring season. But you get the gist of where they're going to be. Mm-hmm. And then I'll, you know, if I know they're going to pass through a, you know, a chop or a bottleneck or something like that, then I'll just go sit up there first and see where he's at. And then once he gobbles and I know he's kind of too far to work from that area, then I'll just pick up shop and you know, get as close as I can to him.
Yeah.
And I love being aggressive though. I love it. I've probably spooked, you know, a few birds doing it, but I love being aggressive and getting right up there. A lot of birds, you can't call him, you can't kill him unless you go in there and bust his bubble. And you just gotta get in there tight on some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Cause even like earlier, the story you were telling where you got out of the blind with your son and like crawled up, you know, to get to him, you know, I'm sure some people wouldn't do that or couldn't do that, but you know, you got the job done.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that like to just play it way too safe, and that's fine too. You know, I mean, when I have my boy with me, you know, I obviously have to play it safe, because I mean, he's not going to have the ninja Indian skills to crawl up there on one. And I've crawled up on it, man. You'll kill a turkey every once in a while, crawling up there. Like those jokers see you, and like, The only, like, if I crawl up there, it's because I have, like, in front of me or something where he's not going to be able to see me. And I don't, right. Even then, it's only certain situations. But turkey, my dad always told me, and there was this old legendary turkey hunter from back in the day, told him, like, a turkey can see through an oak tree. And you can believe it if you want to, but my gosh, I've been busted sometimes where I haven't moved a muscle. And there's no way that turkey saw me, but he just boogered and long-necked and walked off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. They've got some serious eyesight. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt.
That's crazy, man. Well, that's pretty cool, you know, just kind of hearing how you got into it and, you know, what you're doing now and the strategies and everything that kind of goes into it. But, you know, I definitely wanted to ask you about how you got into making turkey calls and kind of the how that came about. You know, that's pretty cool. That's, I guess you'd say that's kind of how I found you on Instagram. You know, it was basically your call page, you know, so that's pretty neat. You know, that's, I call myself like an amateur woodworker, you know, so it's kind of interesting to me to work with the wood or whatever like that. So how did it go from, you know, loving turkey hunting to you're making turkey calls?
Yeah, so in high school, we had a carpentry class, and in that carpentry class, we had a really nice jet wood lathe, and we started out making baseball bats and, you know, just whatever little school projects that the teacher could teach a bunch of goons how to do without cutting their hands off and whatnot. And there was a couple of my buddies, we were probably the only few that paid attention and enjoyed it. And right. So, you know, but I didn't touch a wood lathe from, you know, high school until 2014 or 2015. And how it got started is I had this one favorite striker. I don't know what, I think it was black walnut, but I don't even know. After dealing with all types of lumber, I still don't remember what it is, but I lost it. It was like the last weekend of turkey season here in Florida. And me and a buddy, we killed a bird and it started raining. So we were like running back to the truck. But whenever I was throwing the stuff in the truck, apparently my striker fell out and I didn't know it. So we ended up going to my in-laws' place turkey hunting, like a spur of the moment trip, like the last weekend of the season up there. It was like May, whatever, 12th or something. And I still didn't know I didn't have a striker. So I knew an area where a bird had been from messing with him earlier in the season. And I got right in his wheelhouse. He flies down at like 80 yards and he's just drumming in a little spot right there. And I go to pull the call out right there when he flew down and I didn't have my striker. Ooh. And I had already culled because I didn't know how to preserve mouth calls from year to year at that time. So I had already culled all my junk mouth calls. So I literally had nothing, and my mouth is not good enough to call a turkey like that. So I just literally had to watch him walk off. And I went back to the yard and was just playing around with the nephew and whatnot. And I whittled a pecan limb. And it sounded really good for being like a 12 or 14 inch limb. And it's like, man, I need to figure out how to make a striker because I can't go hunting without a darn striker. And my brother-in-law was like, hey, I got a little small lathe you can borrow. I was going to make fishing lures, but that didn't work out for him. So he lent me the lathe. I started making strikers. And that's kind of how it started. I made strikers for a couple years. And then, and just kind of ventured into the pot calls, and the good Lord blessed me with figuring it out pretty quick. And here we are, man. I think it's, I think 2015 or 2016. So I'm not a veteran call maker by any means, but I enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's always good to have something like that. That one you enjoy doing and kind of work with your hands and stuff like that. And, you know, people listening around the country may not know, but you know, I saw you working on some for Hagen Ace, and you know, if you're in this neck of the woods, that, you know, that's a name we recognize, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, we're definitely I say we're, it's me, man. Like, it's the one man shop. My boy is, I do have him training on drilling the holes in the blanks. I built him a little jig for my drill press, and he pulls my old bar stool up there, and he puts a little footstool on top of it, and he'll sit there and he'll drill holes until it's dinner time or whatever, and we'll go inside. But he's starting to. So if anybody buys a call from me, and there's like a little like almost two holes where one's supposed to be, my boy built that one. He drilled the holes on that one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, he'll be chipping in real good here before too long, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, he'd be out here every day if I'd let him. But I haven't gotten. I don't have a dust collection system yet. I've got to put some windows in my shop for some ventilation, and I don't have a mask for him, so I don't let him mess around too much in here.
Yeah, yeah.
That dust is nasty stuff, man.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, man. But that's super cool. You know, do you have any plans to expand the call line in the future? You just kind of just keep on working on perfecting what you've got.
Yeah, so I finally came out with a new call. I tested it last year, and the two birds that I killed last year, I was running that call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the first one that I've kind of ventured out and, you know, tried a little something new, because it's so much work to get one of these pots to sound like a turkey. The humidity here in Florida is horrible, so sometimes I'll build sound like junk just to get one that sounds perfect. Now, I'm pretty picky. So just for, you know, the first few years, I was just, when I had a sound that I liked, I just kept on making that pot. And I do make double-sided as well. I actually started making the double-sided, like the one that I'm making for you. Mm-hmm. And then I ventured into the single-sided pots, and those took off pretty well. But yeah, so I came out with that new one last year. I'm going to try to come out with something new every year, but
right.
People, a lot of call makers think they've got this secret sauce, and there's really only so many ways you can make a pot different, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fun, but I started making grunt calls again. I made them a few years ago and kind of got out of it, but I'm making grunt calls again. I've got some owl hooters that I've been working on, and I'm going to try to get some crow calls rolling out if I get time. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to expand, but being a one man shop and trying to be a good husband and a good father and, you know, all that. And just not enough time in the day to really pour a lot of blood, sweat and tears into the call making. So I just kind of tack along every morning.
Yeah. Yes, it's a challenge. There's no doubt about that. But you mentioned the grunt calls. I can't let that go without mentioning that I grunted in my first buck this fall with one of your grunt tubes. So I appreciate it, man.
Nice, nice. Nice. Yeah, I appreciate that. I like the feedback. I like the feedback. They did pretty good this year. I had a lot of people sending me some pictures, and yeah, unfortunately I wasn't one of them that had good luck.
Right.
The buck I was after, he was always about six steps ahead of me.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I grunted in the dough with it though.
Hey, well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. That one I shot he was pretty young, but, you know, it sounded like another buck to him. So.
Yeah, hey man, it's all in what makes your heart pump, buddy.
Oh man. I was.
That's all I. That's
I'm
all
still
I care
pumped.
About.
Oh man.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. You know, it's always cool to see, you know, some new stuff or different stuff. I'm excited to get that double-sided call. You know, just to have, you know, opportunity for a couple of different tones. You know, in the one pot, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. That's like my first. So I always had, you know, just store-bought stuff growing up. Because I didn't even know custom pot call making even existed. And I had a guy gave me, it was a straight creek call. and some guys, I guess, that I don't know how they got them, but they were, it was a little hunting show that was starting up, and they had a bunch of them, and they came down hog hunting. Mm-hmm. They came down turkey hunting with my cousin, but I took them hog hunting, and they're like, hey man, you want one of these pot calls? I'm like, well, the only way I'm going to take one is if I call a turkey up right here with it. And we were sitting, actually, it's funny, we were sitting on Bubba, where Bubba Crosby hunts,
mm-hmm.
way back before he leased it, but I was catching the hogs off of that farm for the farmers, and we were sitting right in that field, and I took that thing, and I started playing on that call, and dang, if a hen didn't come out of the bushes and come walking across the field just cackling and yelping back at me. I was like, wow. I'll take it. So that was my first custom call, and it was a slate over glass, double-sided is what it was.
Okay.
And that's kind of what inspired me to start trying to make them. A double-sided call is phenomenal, man. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the best of both worlds. You sound like two totally different turkeys at the same call.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that definitely appealed to me, you know, just a little bit of versatility and, you know, kind of painting the picture, you know, with a couple different turkeys.
Yep. The bottom is usually just such the perfect, like, little clucking purrs and tree yelps. It's real soft. And then the top, you can reach out there and touch him on a windy day if you need to. But I love them. I love them.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, you know, you mentioned Bubba right there, and, you know, y'all've got some things going on, you know, with the part-timers and Mossy Oak Go and all that. You know, what y'all got some stuff planned for the spring, I presume, trying to get some turkey hunts filmed.
Yeah. So we have a couple hunts that we filmed last year that we didn't get on our YouTube channel. So we have a hunt with Paul Butsky and General West. Mm. They were doing a wounded warrior hunt with Jacob, which Jacob Kelly is one of the other, the part-timers. Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all probably would recognize his dad. His dad is Keith Kelly. He was one of the Mossy Oak turkey thugs for as long as it was around. So mm-hmm. they've got deep ties in Mossy Oak, and they know a lot of cool people, and they get to hunt with a lot of cool people. So Jacob filmed a hunt with Paul Butsky and like I said, General West. So that hunt, I think Bubba's editing that hunt now, hopefully as we speak. Nice. And that'll be on the Mossy Oak Go app that hasn't been aired on YouTube. Jacob's sister killed a nice gobbler, which hasn't been on YouTube. And I think we have, I want to say we have one more from Jacob that hasn't went on YouTube. So they'll be on the Mossy Oak Go app here pretty soon. I believe they're live. Their live series is fixing to start this week, I believe. And we sent in Jacob's son, Hoyt, I think he was five last year. He killed his first turkey. So that's going to be the first one on the turkey live series.
Okay.
So that's pretty exciting to be on that live block. And then, well, of course, we're going to put in my hunt. Knox and I filmed a bird in my horse pasture last year. That was pretty comical. That'll be on there as well. So we would have Bubba's, but Bubba's hard drive crashed. And hopefully he doesn't throw up when he listens to this, because he lost all his family pictures, all video that we ever filmed together. We've been filming stuff together for 3 or 4 years now. So
yeah,
he lost it. And so Bubba had a phenomenal hunt last year that he had just finished editing, and it was just fixing to get ready to be put on YouTube, and it crashed, and so it's gone.
Oh man,
technology!
I can't imagine, man. I literally can't imagine. Yeah, technology. We're kind of getting into that just a little bit here a few minutes ago before we got started. It's a blessing, but it can it can get on your nerves too.
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt about that. But yeah, so it's we're excited. We've got some hunts opening morning. We're going to be guiding. We do we help out with a hunt for the Seamark Ranch up in Northeast Florida. We do. There's a big hunt, and I'm lucky enough to be a part of that, film and guide. And And that's awesome. I love that hunt every year. So cool.
Yeah.
And that hunt from last year will be on there as well in the Mossy Oak Go app. But we've got hunts planned.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully the turkeys cooperate and they want to be film stars. So
yeah, exactly. Hopefully they'll cooperate this spring and you'll get some more good ones. Sounds like there's plenty already, coming down the pike. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
Now the C-Mark ranch thing, is that related with like a charity or military or something, or how's that?
Yeah, so it's an orphanage in I believe it's in Green Cove.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure exactly how. I know all the proceeds from this hunt go to that orphanage.
Okay.
And they usually have a dozen or so hunters come in, and it's pretty neat. That's pretty awesome. Neat to be a part of that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's very cool. Very cool. I kind of already hit you up for a little bit of, advice to a new turkey hunter. I was asking you a little bit about the strategy and things like that. But if you have anything to add on that, or if you want to go into anything with your setup, because, on top of your gun and everything you got there, you've got, cameras and all that good stuff that you're hauling along. So anything you want to add for setting up, whether it's advice to somebody trying to film or anything you want to add to somebody who might be heading out here shortly to see if they can't get a turkey in?
Yeah. So if you're a first timer but you're wanting to film, just leave the camera and just get you a couple birds under your belt and then worry about the camera. Or you just have to have that mindset, like, if I don't kill this turkey because of the camera, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with not killing a turkey. But if you're trying to kill a turkey, it's your first one, I would definitely suggest to leave the camera at the house, because it definitely gets annoying carrying it. I love it. I've filmed since I was 12 or 13 years old. 99% of everything I filmed up until 4 or 5 years ago was absolutely junk. But you'd see a piece of a turkey, and you'd see the bushes rattle when I shot, and you might hear a turkey gobbling it, but it was just, but I've toted way too much junk, man. My whole life I've been a pack mule. So, but as far as first timers, if you're just getting into it, just get a gun and some shells that you can afford, pattern it, know what your gun is doing, know your limits, don't try to shoot one too far. If you don't have a good shot, he'll be there tomorrow. Unless you have a turkey thug hunting around your club, he might go in there after you and wipe him out. But for the most part, the turkey will be there tomorrow. Just let him go. Just learn what he's doing, learn what you did wrong. But the main thing is just being in the woods. I grew up in the woods. Everything I did, my wife asked me all the time, well, what'd you do in high school? Like, what'd you do for fun? Where'd y'all hang out? I didn't do anything but hunt. That's where I was at. Like, I knew where every hog crossed the road, where every deer crossed the road, where every turkey strutted. That's just what I did. But get in the woods, scout it, know the lay of the land, find your big pines where there's possible roost trees, know where your food sources are at. And if you're in Florida or the Southeast, or heck, dang near everywhere in the United States now, we have wild hogs.
Yep.
But especially in Florida, if you find a big hog rooting flat, those hogs are eating what we call pink root. So they're tilling up the ground. They're eating a little root that's pink, and they love it. And so turkeys do too. So if you know where a good, fresh, active hog rooting flat is, there's going to be turkeys in that flat. And it's just, they're just going to be scratching it down flat, looking for those pink roots and grubs and whatnot that the hogs miss. So if you find one of those when you're scouting in deer season, mark it on Onyx or whatever hunting map you got or in your brain. And you just know that if you can't get on a bird, if he don't come straight to you on the roost, chances are those hens are going to be going pecking in that hog rooting flat, and that gobbler will be there strutting too. And he might not say a word, but that's going to be his strut zone. You know, and the majority of the time, hog rooting flats are, you know, they're kind of open little areas inside of a thick bowl of timber or whatnot. So the turkeys, like, nothing can get them because they're inside of a bowl out of the wind, and they can see anything that tries to come in that flat. So it's kind of like their little safe haven as well. And that's a little tip that I always be, me being a hog hunter and used a hog hunting with dogs for, you know, 15 years or so, I knew where every hog hunting flat was in the club. So I mental noted everything, you know, and I knew right where to go. If he didn't come to me on the limb, I'd just chill out for a little bit and wait till about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'd get in the shadows and sneak right into that hog rooting flat, call a couple of times, and usually every time he'd wow, you know, come strutting in there.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I actually haven't heard that before myself, so I appreciate the tip for sure. I'm sure there's some other people, you know, in this area or around the country that probably helps them too, so appreciate that.
For sure, yes, sir.
Awesome, man. Well, we've kind of touched on where we can find you already a little bit, but, you know, if you want to give any specifics on where to find you online and where to find y'all's videos and stuff, we already talked about Mossy Oak Go, but any specifics you want to give on Instagram or Facebook or whatever you want to point people toward?
Yeah, so I have a website for my turkey calls. It's www.headbustaturkeycalls.com. Mm-hmm. And I've got a YouTube channel as well. I've kind of slowed down putting content on there just because, you know, anything hunting now is going to our part-timer hunting YouTube channel. We have Headbusta has Facebook and Instagram as well, but the part-timers hunting is our Instagram, our Facebook, and we have a YouTube channel. And you can also find us on the Mossy Oak Go app. You can just search the part-timers. Nice. And right now we have 3 videos on there. Like I said, Hoyt's first turkey hunt will be on there on the live blogs this week, I believe. And then hopefully we should have a video on there every week until turkey season starts. And then, good Lord willing, we will have fresh content on there. I would like to say weekly, but it depends on how fast Bubba and I can edit it. And so, and it's my busy season, obviously, too, with turkey calls. So right. I have kind of passed the torch and stoked the fire to Bubba. Like, hey, man, you're going to have to probably take the majority of the stuff for right now until I can get caught up with turkey calls. So
I hear you there.
One thing I did want to add, though, is
yes, sir.
People get so caught up in – and the shells and the gun and the camo and the calls and all this stuff. And they'd just be so much better off if they just realized if God wants you to kill that turkey, you really can't do any wrong. And quit trying to take it on yourself and, oh, man, I should have done this, because you can sit there and worry yourself to death on, dang, if I didn't use this strutter, he probably would have came in. And yeah, he probably would have if he didn't use a strutter, because they only work about 2% of the time, it seems like. But but I mean, I've hunted birds for 4 or 5 days in a row, and then you come in there and sit in the same exact spot the next day, and the same exact call, same exact everything, barometer's the same, and he just comes right in on the string. It's like you never know what they're thinking. Every day's different, but just quit worrying about it and just let God have it. You know, just yep. All you got to do is you got to go. You need to go. You got to be there. You got to try. But if it's God's will, you can't do any wrong. That's been proven to me time and time again.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad you added that, because it is, you know, it is definitely easy to kind of get to where you think about all these things, and, these people who market this stuff are smart. You know, they put them in shiny packages and cool colors. And, you know, I mean, it is easy to get kind of caught on it. But, you know, like you said, can't kill them from the couch. So you just got to get out there and put in the effort. But after that, it is pretty well up to God. You know, he created that turkey, so only he knows what it's thinking.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I quit a long time ago trying to figure out what a turkey's thinking.
Yep.
I just go show up and run through the motions. That's about all you can do.
Yes, sir. that's pretty good advice. Not to worry 1 minute about what that turkey's thinking, because you're not going to figure it out.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep.
Well, Ernie, I appreciate you taking some time this evening and joining me and working through a few technical difficulties to getting started. And I've enjoyed it, and we'll have to talk turkey hunting again, and maybe some deer hunting, all kind of good stuff in the future, hogs and all that. We'll have to get into it at a later date.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, anytime. Yeah, we do have a pretty cool hog hunt that's fixing to come available on Mossy Go to from last weekend. It's pretty nice. Pretty neat one. So y'all keep your eyes open on that.
Absolutely. Yep, we'll definitely keep an eye out on Mossy Oak Go and everything y'all've got going on there. And once again, just want to say thanks for coming on, and I am looking forward to getting my call from you as well. So I'm excited for this spring.
Sounds good. Yeah, man, no problem. I got your call on the way right here right now, ready for 4 a.m.
As always, thanks so much for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, the place where we may not be hunting, but we want to be hunting. And man, it's been good. I enjoyed talking with Ernie. I've enjoyed all the guests that we've had on the podcast over the past, you know, I guess we're coming up on 7-8 months. And especially the turkey series, man, it's been good. Everybody's been loving it, listening to it, and the guests have just been fantastic. So big thank you to them. Big thank you to Ernie for coming on today. And thanks everyone for listening. If you get a chance to leave us a review, to leave us a rating, and of course actually subscribe, that helps a ton. We really appreciate that. And hope you guys just enjoy getting ready for turkey season, have a successful season as it approaches. And just want to thank everybody for following along. Hope you'll have a good one. As always, honor God, work hard, and let's keep hunting.